This video is sponsored by the National Wildlife Federation, a nonprofit organization that aims to protect wildlife populations by restoring habitats in protected lands, working lands, waterways, coasts, and communities. For more information on the NWF and how you can show your support, visit www.nwf.org/aboutus. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Environmental Talk. Last week, we talked about plastic pollution and how it affects wildlife. This week, we are talking about a very interesting topic, wildlife poaching. I'm Sammy Leidy, and it is a pleasure to be making another podcast with my good friend, Kendi Ummel.
I'm pretty excited to be talking about this. We even have a few special guests coming on the show. Stay tuned.
So, wildlife poaching. I've seen a lot of recent articles about it from Times and NBC.
Yeah, it's become a hot topic in 2018, which I think is really important to note. And we will elaborate more on that when we get to talking about the solutions that are active to stop it. So for those who don't really know about wildlife poaching, can you define what it is for everyone?
Well, wildlife poaching is the illegal hunting of wild animals, which often results in the selling of high-value parts, such as fur, tusks, and horns on the black market. It is an increasingly prominent issue across the continents of Africa and South Africa, and have recently become an issue in Asia as well. Poaching is responsible for the threatening population decline and endangerment of certain species. It first became an alarming issue in the 1970s and 80s, when a huge decrease in the elephant population in Africa was noticed. Now, I can understand how people think this isn't a major problem. People hunt all the time. I know people that hunt deers in Turkey, but wildlife poaching is much different.
Some of the animals that are poached often have become endangered and are also people's favorite animals to see at the zoo, such as rhinos and elephants.
So now let's look at the statistics. In 2016, a rhino was killed every 8 hours in South Africa. In comparison, every year around 20,000 African elephants are killed. These numbers continue to increase as poaching becomes more popular. In 2012, illegal poaching reached its all-time high in Central Africa and has not stopped since.
What's interesting to me is how poaching started. Poaching wasn't always an illegal activity. In the 1700s and earlier, poaching animals was used by peasants as a means to survive in order to provide food for oneself and their family. The United States was the first to make a move by passing the Lacey Act against poaching in 1900, which made it illegal for one to sell a poached animal in one state to someone in another for profit. About 60 years later, many other countries followed to form CITES, which is a Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora, an international agreement in order to protect animals in trade so that their survival is not threatened.
Illegal poaching first began in Africa with wildlife poachers, who were recruited from local communities living in close proximity to these protected areas. Nowadays, former military personnel, police officials, game scouts, people that have special tracking or shooting skills are now taking part in poaching.
So why do people poach exactly? Most often people poach in order to sell ivory tusks and horns on the black market. These tusks and horns have very high value on the black market. Poachers who hunt wild animals in groups can receive $1,000 to $9,000 of the horn's black market value.
In countries such as Vietnam and China, there's high demand for rhino horns and ivory trade. Countries find loopholes in order to justify their use of ivory. In the Pacific island country of the Philippines, ivory with no record of when it was acquired before the trade ban by CITES in 1989 can be considered as antique.
People buy ivory tusks and horns for three reasons: traditional medicine, trophy hunting, and opportunistic buying and gift giving. Ivory tusks can be carved into unique jewelry and art. The Philippines and other Asian countries use ivory to create tiles and accessories for games such as Mahjong, which is a Chinese originated game based on characters carved into tiles. In some countries, such as Vietnam, there's an ancient history of using rhino horns to cure a range of illnesses, such as a hangover cure and a palliative medicine for cancer.
The healing effect of rhinoceros horns are an urban myth and a main driver for the demand of these goods. Other people buy ivory tusks and horns as collective items. The wealthy use rhinoceros horns as a means to show their wealth. They are purchased and offered as high-value gifts to political officials and other socioeconomic elites. In relation to this, rhino horns can also be accepted as a currency for payment of luxury products in certain circles. Now time for a brief intermission for one of our sponsors.
This episode is also sponsored by Charity Water. Charity Water is a nonprofit organization bringing clean, safe drinking water to people in developing countries. 100% of public donations go to water projects. For more information, visit www.charitywater.org.
And now we're back. Make sure to support our sponsors. They can make a huge difference. Now continuing with poaching. There are three main levels a poacher can be classified by. These levels include subsistence, commercial, and syndicated. A poacher on a subsistence level hunts wildlife in order to provide for themselves or their family, and usually works alone or with one other poacher. A commercial level poacher poaches for money or enjoys the sport of poaching. They typically work in a group and are often armed at all times. Syndicate level poachers are classified as wealthy, organized criminal groups that are a major part of the poaching network. They work in large groups during the day and night.
Syndicate poachers are always well equipped with aircraft, helicopters, assault rifles, explosives, night vision optics, vehicles, radio communication, dart guns, and camouflage clothing. Among major skill and knowledge of poaching and wildlife. The ranking levels of poachers and the specific organization and execution of each group plays a major role in the poaching crisis.
Now we will discuss the solutions to this terrible problem. It would be a great time to introduce our special guest from Smart Technology, Jonathan Palmer. Thanks for being here.
Hello, it's a pleasure to be invited.
So, Jonathan, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I attended Harriet Watt University and also Oxford, and just pretty much my whole life has been around wildlife and animals, and I just love it.
That's great. You know, Jonathan, you're a really accomplished man. You are the executive director at the Office of Strategic Technology at WCS. You're the board chairman at NetHope, and you are the smart CTO. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
So, tell us, Jonathan, what is SMART?
Well, SMART is a spatial monitoring and reporting tool. It's being used on more than 600 sites in 55 countries. Our software gives rangers an overview of every single one of their patrols. On the site, rangers log the locations that show signs of poachers and their traps, as well as old animal carcasses, and upload the information to the SMART platform.
Wow, that's amazing! So, how are the results of the new technology?
Well, since the software was released, the average patrol length has increased by 50%, which means that rangers are covering more ground that is under threat from poachers.
That's honestly amazing.
Yes, there are 50 sites across Africa, Asia, and Latin America that use SMART as their form of preventing poaching. And we are continuing to improve our software in order to help rangers better prevent poaching on each site.
Can you tell us a little bit about the knowledge you have of other solutions to prevent poaching?
Currently, there are multiple active solutions to try and prevent poaching and catch individual poachers and organize poaching groups. For a few years, anti-poaching bat hawk drones have been flying over national parks South Africa, Malawi, and Zimbabwe. The drones are made by South African company UAV Drone Solutions. There are other drone companies, such as Air Shepherd from the Lindbergh Foundation, that have also worked in Africa and South Africa, creating their own type of drone that follows the same system.
Thank you. You're a very knowledgeable man. Well, obviously, you must support SMART as the number one technology in preventing poaching.
Oh, of course, obviously, but any solution to prevent poaching is important, and I support all the other companies doing so. That's very humble of you. Thank you for taking time out of your day to come and talk to us. I know you are very busy, and we wish you the best with SMART technology.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed talking about this subject very much.
And we're back after a brief music intermission. I just want to give a huge shout out to Jonathan Palmer for coming out and talking to us. I know he took a lot of time out of his day. He's a very busy man. So thank you, and we really appreciated it. And I hope you all enjoyed that song. Lion King is a great movie.
You know, I'd have to agree with you. Honestly, who doesn't like The Lion King?
That's a great transition into what we're finishing this podcast up with, the animals that are being poached.
Oh no, this is where it's going to get emotional, isn't it?
It sure is. Although the most well-known examples of animals who are poached in Africa are rhinos and elephants, many other animals are facing the same problems as these two. Mountain gorillas, who live in the central sub-Saharan Africa, are a critically endangered species that also experiences the threats of poaching.
In the country of Rwanda, a large decrease in the gorilla population was because of illegal poaching. Gorillas are poached for food, meat trade, or for traditional medicinal use. Zebras are another example of an animal that is poached in Africa. While some species of zebras are endangered, not all are. Nonetheless, poaching also affects zebras as they are hunted for their meat and unique skin.
Another quite unusual species known as the manis, a type of anteater, is also endangered because of illicit wildlife poaching. The manis is poached for its meat. It is boiled to remove its scales and is thought to cure and relieve skin diseases.
Right now, I just want everyone to take a moment to think. Is poaching really worth losing these amazing animals forever? I think that's a good note to end on.
Well, there you have it, everyone. Wildlife poaching. I feel like I've learned a lot today, and I hope you can all take something away from this episode. Because after all, that is the reason why we do what we do here at Environmental Talk.
Well said, Sammy. Everyone, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week with an episode about composting.
Hey you, if you enjoyed this podcast, make sure to check out more from Environmental Talk. We have multiple episodes, some about waste disposal, loss of biodiversity, water scarcity, deforestation, pollution, and more. Hope you enjoyed. Stay tuned for next week.